Welcome to the Unchained Powerful Women series, where I spotlight women who've chosen to lead with purpose, resilience, and radical authenticity. Today's guest is no stranger to shaking things up. If there's one word I can use to describe this person, it is energy. I'm joined by Carmen Murray, a cultural strategist, futurist, and founder of the Authentic Intelligence Framework. She's the force behind the Conscious Leaders Movement, a builder of communities, and a radical change agent in some of the world's most complex industries. Carmen's work sits at the intersection of technology, humanity, and conscious leadership. In this episode, we explore what it means to lead without a mask, how to build a reputation with purpose, and why the future of leadership starts with self-awareness. This isn't just a conversation about frameworks and female leadership. It's about the inner work of leadership, the role of women in reshaping systems, and how Carmen has made visibility an act of courage. Carmen will also give us some insights into what's next for her. Welcome in the studio, Carmen.
Oh, my word. Thank you so much. I feel like I need to bow down to that person.
That person is you.
Wow. Thank you so much. Such an honor to be here and to be on the other side. And also, you know, looking at your work and what you are up to, it's just so incredible to be here. Thank you.
It's my pleasure. So I'm going to start with just a question, a bit of an origin story. Mm. What was your dream job as a child?
Wow. Sure. They were two. Of course, it couldn't have been one, right?
Not with your mind, no.
So in the back of my mind, there was always this thing, and believe it or not, it's so incredible to look at my life now and go, oh my word. So when I was younger, I've always wanted to be Oprah Winfrey of Africa. That was like the thing, right? And I wanted to write books, I wanted to travel the world, and I wanted to be on stages. But I read the book How to Win Friends and Influence People 13 times by the time I was 16. And I always looked at this book and I said, that will never be possible for me. Will never be a dream, because this is only the man's world, and I've never seen like men making it, or even people from my country making it. So I've never, like, you know, even thought about it. And I then started becoming very interested in becoming a forensic auditor. And I wanted to be like finding all the bad guys and all the corrupt guys. You know what I mean? Can you imagine?
Like Carmen CSI.
Like that. I was just obsessed with it. I remember I used to collect Ernst & Young, and like I remember collecting all of the booklets to try and understand like how do they use technology in order to find all of these corrupt people and all the thieves. And then I ended up, like, when I started in this environment, I was like, oh, yeah, this is not made for me. Doesn't work for the ADHD mind. But anyway, anyway, that's a long way, short way. That's a kind of vibe.
So like I said in the intro, you've built a remarkable career at the intersection of marketing, technology, and human behavior. What early moments or lessons shaped your desire to translate culture into strategy?
I would say the later part of my life. Mm-hmm. I just woke up one day and I was like, I don't know if I like where marketing is going. I don't know if I like where this industry is going. It's so exploitative. It extracts and it excludes without even intentionally trying to, but it's the unintended consequences of marketing. And I really had to have a very deep conversation with myself around what type of marketer do I want to be? I want to be on the right side of history. And it has been a very, very tough road. I felt like, you know, pushing wet spaghetti up a hill at some days. Like, it's really been like a hard one, because you're trying to be a change agent, not only in what you do beyond your career, but in your career. Mm-hmm. It's hard.
So what type of marketer do you want to be?
I want to be a marketer that uses the superpower to change the world. So I believe that there's two powerful forces in business. And the first one is women, because women shapes culture. Mm-hmm. And the other one is marketing, because marketing is the mirror of culture. And when you use that force and to do good, you can do amazing things.
Was there a moment in your journey where you realized you weren't just riding and shaping trends, but that you were actually shaping the future?
The first 40 years of your life is research. The next 40 years of your life is implementation. And my first 40 years, I look at everything, the map and the plan that I've inherited from my parents, from culture and society. And I was like, hang on, this needs to look different. This is not my values. I don't believe in this. I don't believe in the future I'm being sold. Mm-hmm. I sometimes feel like we're being herded into a future and guided into a future that we can see is not a good one. And just participating in the system that is perpetuating all of these atrocities that we are seeing in the world, and taking a step back and doing an audit of my own life. How am I participating in this? Where in my career am I participating in this? Where am I participating in the conversations and the friends that I have, in the products that I buy, and how I voice my opinions? Those self-reflections were so important for me to really realize how deep it goes. Mm-hmm. And how every one of us are participating in, you know, what we are seeing playing out in the world. And we might not realize it, but you can't become conscious unless you go out to go and see and go and look and you're curious. And I think for me, that is when I started realizing all these things that we're seeing in the world. And it's almost like, I don't know how to explain it to you. I see things and my head starts hurting. Like, I'll start seeing things and I think, can nobody else see what I'm seeing? You know, this is like crazy. And then I realize that it's such an outsider journey and it's so difficult to sometimes say what you see. Mm-hmm. And then I started making friends with futurists and I started realizing this is normal. Nobody believes us in any way. Just speak your truth. And Faith Popcorn said it to me so beautiful. You know what, Carmen? You're not just a seer, you're a sayer. To be a futurist, you need to be a seer and a sayer. Mm-hmm. And I think that was a pivotal stage for me where I realized, hang on, this is really where I'm meant to be, because that's the change I can bring into the world, is to say, this is what we are seeing in the world, but how can we alchemize these trends and build a better future? Because we're building a world with fear, not with trust. And trust builds bridges. Fear builds walls.
Yeah. It sounds like your insights come from a place of really deep reflection, a real self-knowledge. And you are the creator of the Authentic Intelligence Framework, which helps people to navigate change while staying grounded to who they are. So how do these very personal internal beliefs help you to create this framework?
I think the biggest thing was, you know, this midlife crisis that I was going through. One of them was being told that I've got autism and I've got ADHD. I knew I had ADHD. That was obvious. I think the whole world knew that before me. And then I knew, oh, okay, that's what it's called. It really makes sense now. But I think the shock was the autism part, because it comes with a lot of trauma for me, because my father had autism and I did not have a good relationship with him. And when he passed during the pandemic, that to me, I was angry at the father I lost, that I didn't have a relationship. I was mourning a father I didn't have. Mm-hmm. And then I started realizing how I lacked fatherhood in my entire childhood, from my grandparents. Both my grandparents passed away before I was 5 years old. One was 3 months, one was five. I didn't have good relationships with men growing up. And that then obviously started like building up into who I am. And I think the biggest conversation that I had when I was getting diagnosed was, you've been wearing a mask all this time. You've been masking. It's a big thing with women masking to fit in. And I was like, what are you talking about? And in the middle of all of this, Carmen is studying her postgraduate diploma at Henley Business School, her PGDIP, and studying to become a numerologist. Two very different disciplines. But what I learned through all of this is duality, is nothing in life exists without duality. And in this time, in this moment of complete confusion of who I am, ChatGPT launches and my entire marketing world is disrupted, because I'm like, huh, the way I'm doing marketing is not looking good for me. I'm going to have to change direction. And I've just like thought I've just like conquered my business and all of that. And I realize, hang on, the future doesn't happen to us. We happen to the future. And this is in that pivotal moment where I said, okay, what is the duality of artificial intelligence? It's authentic intelligence. Mm-hmm. So in the age of artificial intelligence, we need authentic intelligence. That's obvious. what is authenticity? And I went down this rabbit hole. I think that's the autism part of me, just going deep, 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 like a nerd into this whole world. And that's how Authentic Intelligence Framework was born. That basically says, in order for us to work in tandem with artificial intelligence, we need to be our best versions of ourselves, because technology is a reflection of who we are. It's a mirror to who we are. So you need to work on yourself. And there's seven intelligences that you need to work on in order for you to lead in these times. And it's emotional intelligence, foresight intelligence. It is spiritual intelligence. It is culture intelligence, collective intelligence, creative intelligence, and then learning intelligence, which is all about the curiosity. And in diving into this and just going deeper and deeper and deeper, it has just become very prevalent to me how it shows up in strategy, how it shows up in how I even find trends and how I look at the future. It has completely shaped the way that I build things and how I build businesses and how I help with marketing initiatives, even conscious leaders. The whole community has been built on the Authentic Intelligence Framework. Every masterclass, every podcast, every piece of curiosity, every way that we connect as women has all been because of Authentic Intelligence. And so I've looked at ways of how can I bring this in my strategy? How can I bring this into transformation and into trends? And it's just the more you work with it, the more going, oh my word, human beings, it's incredible. If we just only worked on ourselves to become the best versions of ourselves, wouldn't the world be a great place?
Yeah. So let me ask you then, how do you maintain your sense of self while navigating leadership, power, and pressure?
I think what I had to learn, although you get to know the bubbly and the energetic Carmen, I'm actually a very quiet person at home. I'm very quiet. I go out and give my energy and then I just want to collapse and be quiet. And I think for me, what that means is I need to regain my energy.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't go deep if I don't, first of all, regain my energy and finding ways of what that means for me, whether it's playing piano and sounding awful and driving my husband crazy with all the noise in the house because Carmen can't play piano. At least I feel like I'm doing something creative without needing to perform, first of all. I think for me, meditation is really important during my sabbatical. I know you're also big on these conscious moves that we need to take in our careers. I meditated for 4 hours a day, literally just trying to escape the chaos and getting deep within my soul. And so that is a way that I feel that I need to recuperate because I'm a sensitive.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I want to feel that I'm deeply in touch with myself as a being before I can be in touch with anybody out there, and also check my own biases. And it's hard to do these things. I mean, like, it sounds great when you hear it, but it's hard to sometimes look at your reaction to things happening in the world and, or, you know, having a conversation on your podcast and saying, oh, I don't know if my view of the world is so lekker. I need to figure this one out and going deep into that. But I think when you have that big aha moments, those awareness, pivotal awareness moments, that is really when things start shifting and you start seeing the shifts that actually happen in your life, that you're not on repeat all the time in these cycles where you have these same problems, it just becomes louder and louder and louder. It's just taking it slow in a world that just want to go fast the whole time.
Yeah, and I think you'll only be able to see those sort of aha moments or recognize those shifts if you actually slow down and just take time to notice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I miss it, you know, I miss that sabbatical, that year that I took out of and just said, this has to stop. I've got to figure out a new way, but I need to do it on my time. I must tell you, it was so amazing. And I keep on thinking, oh, I want more of that in my life. And I think that this is the kind of thing that you kind of need to plan all the time for yourself. Like, I don't think it's a once off you do in your mid-40s. I think it's something you have to do every 5 years, or I don't know. Like, I'm thinking a lot about that. Like, how can my next piece of big work be born? You know, building up on top of that, because I don't know, the foundation needs to be right, but then you need more.
Yeah. You know, what I've definitely, one of the lessons that I learned from that series of podcasts about taking conscious breaks is that, yes, it's nice to have a bit of a longer break to reflect and do all of that, but then you have to try and sort of work shorter breaks into your actual life to make sure that you take time to pause and reflect. And that can be daily, it can be weekly, it can be quarterly. It's just take a time to breathe.
So true.
You need time for that inner work. You are promoting deep self inner reflection. So for that to happen, there needs to be some silence,
yeah,
I guess.
Very much.
Yeah.
And I think also this world of ours has become so noisy. You're just being sent information. And I mean, like, you don't even know if half of it's real. And there's just a part of you that goes, hang on, I just got to disconnect and figure things out for myself. And I think, how can you navigate this world if you don't really understand who you are? Because we are all making a lot of decisions right now based on fear, because we are sold fear. And you need to get in the executive state of mind. You need to be grounded, and you can't be grounded if you don't find stillness.
Yeah. So what would it look like if we were sold messages based on hope rather than fear?
I think we'll have a very different world, but I'm also going to challenge that, because I don't believe that a world can exist only with utopia and only with dystopia, because I think both of them are, it's like a Democratic Party and a Republican Party. Both go extreme on the right and extreme on the left. You still have a big problem. I think the big thing that we need to start thinking about is protopia, which is building a future slowly, a better one, together in unity and in authentic intelligence. I think that is when we can, 1 degree by 1 degree, start moving the trajectory into the right direction. But at this pace and with people not, you know, like, I mean, I cannot tell you how many conversations I have with people. Oh my gosh, I'm so worried about retirement. We're going to be working until we're 90. I don't know how we're going to do this. I don't even know where my career is going. I don't even know how to tell my children what they need to decide for the future. And it's just one fear decision after the other. And it's scary to think that a lot of people are sitting in boards, on boards, and making these big decisions for society right now that are based on fear.
Mm. Do you think that would change if we had more women in leadership positions?
Oh, yeah, you know the answer on that one. Definitely. There's no doubt about that. And, you know, if you just look at what's happening on the global stage right now, and you start seeing how the cycles are repeating itself centuries over centuries, and you see, and I think it's wonderful that our counterparts can see for the first time what we've been screaming and shouting about, because I think for a long time we haven't felt heard. And now to see really what's happening, but there's still people that are ignorant. I mean, there's 350 words that have been removed out of research, one of them being woman, female, race, all of those, you know, biases, a crazy amount of things have been removed. And then we realize, hang on, so these algorithms that are being trained, how are we going to be shadow banned? How are we going to have our voices heard? There's so many things. I mean, I work in the tech world and experimenting and playing with it and seeing how women's voices are disappearing on these algorithms is unbelievable. And we have to work harder, unfortunately, but we cannot give up, and we cannot work in isolation. We have to work together in order to drive the change that we want to see. And that's why I started Conscious Leaders.
Mm-hmm.
I started it with the intent of unity. I want change agents. I want people that think like me, do things like me. I'm not in competition with you. You're not in competition with me. We are all on the same mission to drive a better way forward. And, you know, that narrative and that messaging that so needs to change. But the other side of it is, where there is scarcity, that's where division happens. And so we need to create opportunities for each other and create spaces and places where we can move forward and know that we've got each other's backs. And it's not an easy job. I'm not going to lie. It sometimes feels like I need my full attention and conscious leaders.
Mm.
because there's so much work to do. But I suppose that's what purpose is, right? When you realize there's a lot of obstacles to remove in what you see in the world and to bring that change, then you know you're on the right path.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about Kindness Leaders next. So let's talk about that. So yeah. How was Kindness Leaders born? And I see that you have over 6,000 followers already on the platform or on LinkedIn. So how do you personally stay aligned and visible and energized while holding space for so many other people who are following you?
Kindness Leaders is a movement. You don't need to have a membership or anything. Here, you just come. But anyway, I started it. I wanted to do a social media. It's actually how weird this actually worked. I wanted to do a social media post on Women's Day in 2023 to say, let's be conscious leaders. Happy Women's Day or something in that line. And I was like, ugh, there's a ring to this. This sounds great. But I've always in the back of my mind always wanted to start a women empowerment group. Because my industry, we have a lot of women in it. And I think it's a wonderful opportunity for us to network. And I thought, oh, you know what? Let me just try and see if I can create a logo out of it. Because I'm a creative. I start the other way around. And you know how they say ideas start shaping the moment, or you know, as you start working on them, this great big idea starts being born. And I was just following the curiosity. And the more I started doing things, the more, and it was the weirdest thing. And then I get invited to this woman's event and that woman's event. And I haven't even done anything. And that whole energy and motion. Anyway, January, on Oprah Winfrey's birthday, unintentionally, I didn't realize it at the moment, I started Conscious Leaders in 2024. And it just started like, and it just started growing and growing and growing. I was like, oh my word, this is amazing. But my whole thing was, I have no idea what I'm doing. I'm not in corporate. I don't work in those environments with all these big words, intersectionality, and all of these buzzwords that are being used. I just want to create a platform where we as women come together without the roles and the titles, where we can just be human beings and come authentically as we are. I'm building an arc and build the arc and they will come. And now we are almost 7,000. And we, you know, in our database and all of that, it's really incredible. But I think the big thing that I've realized in terms of building this community is you can't do it alone. Like, I need your voice and your voice and everybody else's voices in order to keep the momentum going. If people only had to come and listen to Carmen Murray, they'd be bored. I mean, you'd be very bored. So it's bringing all of our voices to the table. And what I've really loved and enjoyed is because I, you know, with my podcast, I decided I'm going to change it from the Carmen Murray show and I'm going to focus on conscious leaders. And we've brought so many women onto the show, and then afterwards they would say, oh my gosh, I've just been invited to my second podcast, or I have just been promoted, or I've just received this opportunity, or I've just met somebody incredible because I was on the podcast. And that made me realize, you know, this is really a movement and it's making an impact. And I think that was basically, that gives me all the courage to go out and keep on going, because I can see the impact that it's making in the women's lives.
Yeah, so building on that answer, what responsibility do women in positions of influence have to reshape the systems we are in?
We have a lot of work to do in terms of navigating politics and becoming very good at politics and not looking at politics as if it's what we're seeing in the world, but really knowing that we need to fight for something bigger than ourselves. I think the other thing that we really need to start working on is negotiation. Negotiation is not just about your salary. It is not just about your own benefits, but it's how are you negotiating for policy change? How are you negotiating for the change that you want to see? And really being fearless, but audacious inside out. And I think that when you do it from that way, if it's audacious outside in, you are building something like I like to call it, if you crack an egg from the outside, it means death. If you crack an egg from the inside, it means life. So if you build something with courage from the inside out, knowing what you're fighting for, it's so much easier. And you have so much more courage to see the change and be the change and actually negotiate for it. I think what we definitely need to start considering us doing audits on the people in our circles and know what they are all about, because you can't build this future with people that are all about themselves only and individualistic. We need to start thinking bigger because we don't have much time. I don't believe we have much time. We have a lot of work to do in a very short amount of time. And if we want to move the needle, we need to come together. And you can't build a future with people that are only there to exploit, exclude, and extract.
Yeah, this is an interesting concept to me, this audits of people who are in our circle. So what would be the first question you would ask that person?
Are you real? Are you authentic? I go through my authentic intelligence framework, because if you can't be real, you can't show me the messy versions of you, and you're always so postured and showing up in a certain way, I can't trust you.
Mm. You're talking about vulnerability. You're at least showing your true colors, not just hiding behind a mask.
Yeah. And I understand that we have to bring our mask and we have to wear them sometimes. But I want to go back with this word authenticity, because mm-hmm. there's different types of authenticity. There's authenticity where you're consciously authentic, meaning that I know that I need to work on myself and who I am as a person. But then there is also rigid authenticity. That is, I am who I am and I will show up and be who I am. You just get out of my way. And that rigid authenticity is not the authenticity that we can build with,
mm-hmm.
because you have to take your layers of your mask down, not this masked up version. And that's what I was in when I realized I've been masking my entire life, because when I found out I had autism, so I had to go and do the work. Then there is the authenticity where you adapt, where you are in certain rooms and you know that you can only bring that part of your authentic self. But everybody must know that when they're in contact with you, you're still the same person. And that to me is important, because we have a world that is now, we are in the post-truth era 2.0 society. We have corporate unrest. I mean, we're seeing this in our trends, corporate unrest, the boycotting that is happening. There's a lot of instability, the geopolitics, all of these things, the AI and the deepfake world that is exploding. There is a time not so far away from here where we're not going to be able to know what's real and what's not. And we must at least be able to tell who's real and who's not in our circles, because we're going to need to have people around us that we can build a new world of trust.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what kind of legacy are you consciously building?
I think I'm consciously building a better future. And I don't know what that better future looks like, but all I know is the future that we are currently being sold is not the future that I want to participate in. I also know that if I resist what I'm seeing in the world, I bring that same energy in what I'm building. So what I'm trying to do is to build with love and to be kind to myself and then be kind to others. Because I think a lot of what we are seeing in the world and a lot of businesses that are not have not built their businesses with love, we're going to see a disruption happening there for sure. And it's already happening.
Mm-hmm.
And so building a bridge to the future and building hope, because can you imagine being the younger generation looking at what's going on and like, please show us the blueprint. We don't know. We don't have a blueprint. But at least if we come together, we hold hands and we say, we don't like what we're seeing over there, but we can build something better here. Let's build a parallel system. And I'm busy building a parallel system. I think that's the best way to put it.
Okay, so tell me what you're building. What's next for you?
Well, I'm definitely, so I was always like, you know, I'm a marketer, I'm an ethnographer, I'm a numerologist, I'm all of these amazing things, but I'm confusing people because boxy people want boxy answers. So how can I mush up all these parts of me, make it one thing that everybody gets what I'm doing? And that is really where I'm moving, is I want to play in the futuristic space. I want to transform trends and alchemize trends and build a better future. So if we're seeing all these trends, how can we build something better? Because it's very difficult you know, they say in futurism, don't shame the trend, which I totally agree with. But I think it's exceptionally hard to witness where you're seeing trends going and not being able to do something about it. And so that is what Conscious Leaders is for me. It's my side hustle where I'm seeing the trends when I'm working with clients. And I know clients sometimes can't act on all of these things, but if they can't act on these things, then you know what? Then I'm going to build it in Conscious Leaders. So I'm playing a dual role. So in my day job, I want to move to the top in terms of my game, being a futurist. And actually saying that is so hard for me. Like Faith said to me, you should definitely call yourself a futurist. I'm like, how? I'm not a futurist. Like, not like that. And she says, you are. You are one. And I gave her all the trends that I was that I'm seeing. And she's like, you're spot on. And so that made me realize that I really, really, really just... And it's something that comes very natural to me. So just go with where my heart is at. It comes natural and I will enjoy it. And then simultaneously building Conscious Leaders. I want to take Africa to the world. I want to take these women to the world.
Yeah, so there's two things there. The first is you want to be a futurist that doesn't predict the future, but shapes the future.
Exactly.
From the inside out, like you were saying, exactly. Audaciously inside out.
I love that.
Yeah.
You see, you've given me the words that I needed. I want to be part of shaping the new world that we are busy preparing. And it sounds probably for some of your audience like, what is she on about? Like, did she have gummies before she came here? I don't have gummies. But I mean, like literally for me, what this is all about is I just want to have happiness around me. I just want to hear joy and to create pockets of joy and have joy strategies so that can still exist, even though we know that all of these things are happening, that we at least know that through love, we can create something better that can exude that energy and back into the world and shift things.
Yeah, Margaret Wheatley talks about islands of sanity. So creating islands of sanity around ourselves, like little islands of where the world is normal and in our zones of influence, being able to at least create an island of sanity or what we perceive to be sanity.
Yes.
And then if our bubbles can start touching each other, you know, those little islands of sanity. So that's sort of, I like that concept a lot as well.
I love that. That is so beautiful.
Yeah.
Sure. Because I think what I'm also finding is that we are all seeing a different perspective, a different lens. And I think through our unity is to say, I see what you see. Those parts that we see together, let's make something with it.
Mm-hmm.
Let's create. I do believe that in this time of uncertainty, the best gift you can give yourself is to have the beginner's mindset.
Yeah.
And to just be okay with not knowing how to do things. Just be okay with that. I mean, this is why Conscious Leaders, I think, for me, is such a success, is because I'm like, I just walked in and it was like, I'm just going to learn as I go and people must judge me. And, you know, through community and our bubbles touching, as you beautifully said, this is how we started, like, okay, but how we can do this. And here's the idea, how we do that. And people just coming together because there is something we have in common.
Yeah. So the second thing that you mentioned was around, you know, redefining what success looks like for you, and, you know, creating a new way of looking at life, something like that. So how are you redefining what success looks like for you?
I think we're doomed if we think that we can be successful the way we've been taught. I think we're doomed, and I think we need to really get rid of that idea very quickly if we think it still exists. And just to go back, it's definitely about the beginner's mindset. I think success building in the future that we are going into is all about being okay not having titles. It's more about the questions you ask than the answers you receive. You see, our systems are all about the answers now. We need to ask better questions. I think that it's the hierarchy. We need to build community and offline community, face-to-face community. Those are the things that are important to create success, because success will now only be achieved when we come together. There's a thing called joint up thinking, is when we become smarter when we actually join up our thinking. And we so underestimate how powerful the human mind is. And if you look at artificial intelligence, it's mirroring us. I mean, people keep on forgetting it. It comes from an authentic place. And we're turning AI into a god. And so we're not even realizing how we're giving away our power. I mean, there's so many people out there that are using AI. And I'm not anti-AI. I don't have a problem with the tool. I have a problem how we use the tool. I have a problem with us outsourcing our thinking and not mm-hmm. being able to tap into our own humanity and being willing and brave enough to go within. You know, there's a reason why not. We are 80% water, right? How much? We've only explored 5% of the ocean. That is exactly the message that the nature is giving us. You could only explore 5% of me, but you're exploring space like crazy, but you can only take 5%. Of handling the oceans, the deepest of the oceans. So why are we not going deeper within? And so damn deep. Because if you go so deep, it can only get better. And this world would be so different.
Yeah, I mean, that's an interesting concept around, you know, and I think you're almost making a metaphor for going inside ourselves as well.
Mm.
It's not just the ocean that we're talking about here. We're talking about exploring more about what humanity actually is.
Yeah.
And how we can harness that to build a better world.
Mm. Yeah, 100%. And if I see it in me, I can see it in you.
Mm. Yes, but I wonder, how do we do this? Who defines what good looks like for the future? I think if you spoke to somebody who is maybe not thinking the same way you are thinking, okay, they might have a very different view of what the future should look like.
100%. You know? I think the big thing is not to be dissonant.
Mm.
You know, actually start, if you are making any decisions on autopilot, I would implore you to reverse that. So if you're buying toothpaste on autopilot, I'm just using an example, question, why are you buying that specific toothpaste on autopilot? Who's taking up rent space in your mind?
Mm-hmm.
And start looking into the company. And also, you have to understand, what is your own values? If you don't know what your own values is and what you stand for and what you don't stand for, you're making decisions blindly. And I think the most important thing is, any decision that you're making in this life, just make sure that you fully understand why you're making those decisions and what is the impact of that decision. And you'll be okay, because that will lead you where you want to be in the future that you want. But there are people that want a future that are very eager for a very dystopian future, and that's also okay. We need balance. We need to be challenged. I'm being very dead serious. Like, I just think that we really just need to take a break. Just take a moment, even with the smallest decisions, and make sure it's the right decisions for humanity. Because no one, the whole reason we are all on this planet is we all want to find belonging. I've been an outsider my entire life. And felt like nobody sees me. But I've created my own community where my outsiders join me, and, like, you know, they accept me for who I am, and that's okay. And I think that is exactly, are we making decisions or changing ourselves, putting on masks because we feel like we don't belong and we need to be, especially we as women, we know this story, we know this drill, how we need to fit in and look a certain way, be a certain way, say the right things, think a certain way, don't be too loud, don't be like this. We have to just strip down and really understand who we are as individuals. And then when we really understand who we are as individuals, then we start looking at the decisions we make in the outside world. And you'll see that completely shifts when you really understand who you really are.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was a bit, I mean, I was a marketer. My husband always says to me, you are a marketer's dream, because you go for all the promotions, you go for all the exciting things. I'm like, I was that person. And I question every single thing because I don't know necessarily if it's my thoughts. Because, you know, I don't know if you've, what George, was it George Orwell? In the books, The Thought Police. And if you look at the technologies are real. There's studies being done on neo-colonialism. And the work that is being done to invade our thoughts, brain invasion without penetration of putting a device into your head. So how do we know this attention economy if it's really built with good intent? It's built to keep your eyeballs there and to sell you stuff that you don't need. And so you need to start interrogating whose thoughts is this? Yeah. Who's benefiting from your attention?
Yeah, you don't need an implant because you're already looking at a screen the whole day.
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah. That's some food for thought there. So the tagline of this podcast series is, I've called it Legacy in Motion, where I'm interviewing powerful women. So what sort of legacy do you hope to leave behind?
Conscious leaders. I just want to see more conscious people, even if it's one person that becomes more conscious just by listening to this podcast. I know that I've done something because that person is maybe impacting 100 people in their decisions or 1 million people with their decisions as a CEO or a director. You know, we underestimate how many lives we impact. You know, when I was studying numerology, we were looking at numbers and one of the numbers is 11-2, right? It's a master number. And this is a master number is all about impacting the masses. And you would immediately think it's an influencer or it's a president or it's like it's somebody big. But a person like an architect that designed a bridge, millions of cars drive on this bridge every single day. It impacts millions of people. So it's looking at just becoming conscious as one person. And when one person is conscious, it impacts a lot of people around them. And when you impact people, it has a ripple effect. And that's how it spreads.
Yeah. So waking up from the matrix.
Exactly, exactly. Oh, my lordy.
So is there anything that we didn't talk about that you'd like to mention?
No, I think you allowed me to go all over. Like I've really enjoyed our conversation because, you know, I'm so busy trying to interview other people, be around other people and trying to elevate those around me. And sometimes it's nice to be on the other side of the seat and just getting those thoughts out into the world, you know, and how I really see things behind the screens, behind the trends and all the, I mean, I'm grateful that I didn't have to go into the dark belly of all the trends that I'm seeing, but I could just really
well, we
have
can go there if you want
No. I speak about them more than enough in my daytime. Thank you very much. But like really just, you know, reflecting on what it really means to be a change agent, you know, it was really therapeutic for me. Thank you.
My pleasure. And it's wonderful to have you in the studio with me.
I loved it. It's a very familiar studio, this, right? Hey.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye now.
Bye. Carmen Murray reminds us that conscious leadership is strategic, soulful, and necessary. In a time of noise and acceleration, she invites us to pause, reflect, and lead with intention from the inside out. Her work is a masterclass of blending emotional intelligence with digital fluency. She believes we need to build ecosystems where women can thrive and lead. If you're a woman redefining success on your own terms, know this. Your story matters, your voice has power, and the way you lead can open doors for others.